Gee, agus fáil tú go dtí glóir eile, cum an lúc leas gael, a seachta na seo with me, Tom Cormack, always with you on a Wednesday night here until 9 o'clock, and, well, as always, we hope you can stay tuned on the programme tonight. I'm joined in studio here by Fergus McGee, the Donegal Cultural August language officer. He joins me to look ahead to this weekend's Ulster final in Scoresheenshire, and of course Donegal has quite a number of competitors in this competition. We'll be talking to Fergus in a moment, but first we'll also be talking later on tonight as well to, well, Dom Corrigan, who has masterminded another great success at colleges level. St Michael's of Enniskillen won a seventh McCrory Cup final on Monday when they defeated OMA CBS in the final in Armagh. 16 points to 2-6. That's how it ended. Pretty comprehensive victory for us in Michael's side that went into the final very much as the underdogs. But we'll be talking to Dom pretty shortly. I spoke to him earlier this evening before he headed out to do more of the celebrating, and we'll find out all about this great success and about the college's great tradition in the last 20 years or so. But as I said, first of all, I'm joined tonight by Fergus McGee. And Fergus, good to have you back in with us again tonight. It's coming to the final stages of the Ulster Score competition, the Scoresheenshire.
It is, Tom. It's Rish Gulamil and Waiga, their son, and Karu. Thanks very much for the invitation. It's a great help to Score to get the opportunity to get a bit of time on the likes of Highland Radio. Yeah, the Ulster final is coming up now on Saturday, and we have four acts in it. We have St Eunan's and the solo singing. We have the ballad group is from Robert Emmett's. We have the Leiru is from Letterkenny Gales, and Don Lowe is the instrumental music, and they're all very strong.
Yeah. And talk to me anyway. First of all, obviously, they've got through to the final. Tell me about the competition within the county so far this year.
Competition in the county was good, Tom. We had, in total, we had 20 clubs took part in Scoresheenshire. Now we had 30 in Scorn and Og, but there's always a big drop for Scoresheenshire. It's just more difficult to get, I suppose, adults to go out and take part in these things. But yeah, we had our first semi-final was in Muff, and the second one then was in Burton Port. So from one end of the county, if you like, to the other, and then we were more or less more central for the county final in Glenfinn. And our county final this year was very, very high standard, I have to say, because in the solo singing competition, for example, there was four there in the final, and you know, nearly any one of them could have got through. The standard was so high. The same with really all of the other competitions in the Leiru and the instrumental music. The ballad groups were all very strong as well. And we actually had another act from Donegal that got through to the through out of the county as well, was Noreen McGarvey from Dunloe, and we had high hopes for her to one through in Ulster as well. But, you know, adjudicators make decisions that are a bit like referees.
That was in the recitation, was it?
That was in the recitation. She had a fabulous recitation. It was called She May or She May Not, and it was about, you can guess what that was about. But it was a Brexit and a piece that she actually wrote to herself, and a very good piece. Sinead Nugonal from St Eunan's came through in the solo singing in the end, and she had a beautiful song called In Shame, Love, In Shame. And the background, the story to that song is very, very interesting, because it's actually a true story of something that happened many years ago to the shame, I suppose, of our nation. And it happened in Listowel in 1946, where a woman found she was pregnant, and at the time it wasn't the accepted thing, and she wouldn't be accepted into the hospital, and she actually died. She wouldn't be accepted in Listowel, first of all. Then she wasn't accepted in Tralee, and she went on her way to Killarney. She actually died, but the child was born, and Sean McCarthy was a brother of hers, and Sean McCarthy was, of course, a tremendous songwriter who wrote many terrific songs, including Shana Golden, the likes of them songs. But he was so hurt by what happened that the only way he could get that out was he wrote the song In Shame, Love, and Shame, and Sinead, I think, does great justice to that particular song. Robert Emmett's then on the ballot group front have... suppose they've won the hearts really of the people, especially with their second song. Their second song is a song called The Liar, and it's a very comical song, and there's five lads that's together, and they are Damien McGlinchey, Senan Catterson, Shane McBrerty, Aaron McCormack, and Sean Killen. And you know, they do a tremendous job, and they got the next nearest thing I seen in Banbridge in the Ulster semi-final to a standing ovation. The round of applause they got would nearly take the house down. They really appealed to the people. Letterkenny Gales have got a great place called, I It's about two lads going up to the All-Ireland final in 92, and it's very, very well acted. It's the cast there is Brian Sweeney, Gary Call, Sheila Sweeney and Paul Brady and Celine Bradley. And it's a really wonderful piece. It's called Paddy McNamee is the title.
And who wrote it? Or?
It was written originally, I think, by Fergus Cleary, but then I think Brian Sweeney took it and he doctored it and made it into a sort of something that was suitable for a stage presentation. He'd done a tremendous job of it. The instrumental music group from Dunloe, I think, have very high hopes as well. It's Carl Doherty, Joseph McBride, Amy McGarvey, Geraldine Boner and Aisling Sweeney. And when you have the five of them together, I'll tell you, there's good.
Some of them coming from very traditional families, fiddlers.
Very traditional families.
I have inside knowledge, shall we say, of that area.
Yeah. So they've come through Muff, they've come through Burton Port, they've come through Glenfinn, they've gone to Banbridge where they were up against it out there because there you had old traditional score counties like Down and Armagh and Monaghan, and for four from Donegal to get through. And like I say, Noreen McGarvey was the one that unfortunately didn't get through, but she was still, as I said to her after, she's still our champion and she'd done a great job, you know. And there's a great camaraderie and score in Donegal. I think we're at the stage in Donegal where we're really enjoying score, whereas maybe in some other counties it's taken a lot more serious, you know, whereas I think we're still able to. And then the big thing about Donegal is when whoever wins and goes through, the whole county sort of falls in behind them.
That's the voice of Fergus McGee there, the Donegal Oifigeag culture, August Chong. He's with me in studio here. And, giving the runners and riders from Donegal for this year's Ulster Score Final, which is on in County Tyrone on, where did we say it's on again?
It's in Galbally.
Galbally in Tyrone on Saturday.
At
5 o'clock. We'll hear more from Fergus later in the programme. But, St Michael's of Enniskillen upset the odds again in the McCrory Cup. That's the Ulster College's A final, the blue ribbon competition in Ulster football. And they defeated a very fancy dome of CBS on Bank Holiday Monday in Armagh. 16 points to 2-6 was the final score. Some fantastic football played by St Michael's. And earlier tonight I spoke to the successful manager who has now guided the county to a fifth and was actually involved in a sixth as well. So Dom Corrigan, a very good friend of ours here and regular contributor, he has managed and coached and guided this St Michael's team, and he has high hopes even for going further. Well, Dom, first of all, delighted you could join us tonight, and especially, I suppose, on a good news story as well. Congratulations, first of all, on your McCrory Cup success on St Patrick's Day.
Thanks very much, Tom. It was a very sweet victory, and I suppose our last one was 2012, 7 years ago, so we were certainly looking to nail it this time. When we got back to the final, it was our first final since 2012, and we got a big performance from them. And once you get a big performance on final day, it gives you a big chance. And we certainly nailed a good performance and with it the result.
Yeah, and went into the game very much probably as underdogs as well. Like Omagh had beaten you by what, 8 or 9 points in the league semi-final.
Yeah, Oma beat us back on maybe the 6th of January, which is about 8 weeks ago. Beat us by 10 points, in fact, in the league semi-final. But we felt, even on that day, we didn't play particularly well. We conceded a few bad goals. But I felt coming out of Thrillick on that particular afternoon that if we were to play Oma again, that we would be much, much closer to them, because I felt we got goals that day that if we tightened it up at the back, we wouldn't be conceding them as badly, because they scored 5 on us in Thrillick, and thank God they only scored 2 at the weekend. So we cut it by more than 50%. Mm. And they scored 5-12 on us in the league semi-final, and on Monday last, they scored 2-6. 2-5, in fact, 2-5. So it left it that we certainly tightened it well up at the back, and we scored 16 points ourselves. So a much, much better performance.
Yeah.
And always look to keep your best performances for the championship.
And as they always say, a good beginning is half the battle, and certainly you get off to a flying start.
Well, we targeted a big start, Tom, because we knew Oma are very much a confident team, and if they had to get a start on us, well then they could certainly have wreaked havoc, because they're a very good side, and with quality forwards, we could not afford to let them out of the block. So we targeted a big start. We got early points on the board with the likes of Micheál Glynn and Darren McBrien in particular in flying form. And every opportunity we got, I think our shot to score ratio in the first half was up at 84%, 85%. So once you're hitting the 80% plus for shot to score ratio, that means that you're on form. And at half time, we were 11 points to 3 ahead. And in, realistically, we could have been about 114, 115 to 3 ahead. And we kept Oma in it in the last 7 or 8 minutes of the first half by not being clinical with some of the shots. But overall, in the McCrory final, an 8-point lead is a great lead. And we were happy at half time. And we knew that if we kept our composure, that we weren't going to cough up that lead.
Mm. And keeping your composure when you are that far ahead, given that you are the underdog and not expected to win, it's easier said than done.
Well, it's easier said than done, especially when we were hit maybe 10 minutes in the second half with a penalty, a goal that almost scored. But the big thing about this particular team, Tom, is that when setbacks come their way, they've showed great resilience, a great bit of character in them, and they always bounce back. And when Oma got the goal to take it down to 3 points, they reduced the deficit to 3 points from 8 to 3. We came back and stretched the lead back out to 7. Then they came back again with another goal to take it down to 3 again, but we moved clear again, moved it out to 5, pushed it out to 5. So I suppose what pleased me most about the game was that we showed great footballing quality in the first half, great flair, great fluidity to our play, and some wonderful score taking. But the second half, different qualities were required. The qualities that winning teams have, resilience, character, real tenacity, and a real steely grit not to wilt under pressure. And all of those qualities shone through in the second half. So it was nice to win the game with different qualities coming through at different stages of the game.
Mm-hmm. I suppose you mentioned quality, and you know, there was a lot of quality performance, a lot of top-class performances right throughout the team. But I suppose we have to mention Dara O'Brien, or McBrien.
Dara McBrien was outstanding. He had an injury for the league match, so he didn't play, and so maybe that was a blessing because Oma didn't see him or didn't know that much about him or didn't know his real quality. And Dara really kept his best performance for the final. He'd been good enough in the quarter and the semi, but he really came alive in the final. Kicked some wonderful scores. He has great pace, he has great ball control, and he has a great shot. So put those three things together, it leaves a very good product there. And he's a wonderful forward, and in the current game, isn't it great to see good quality forwards confident enough to take on shots when in good positions and being able to execute them? So, no, Dara was outstanding. Micheál Glynn provided great support. Connor Love as well. Tom Keenan was excellent. And Paul McCarvey. So, our forward line in general, I'd have to say, really, really clicked. And then the two powerful men in the middle of the field, our team captain, Brandon Horne, was a real leader. I think he ended up with 7 marks. His high fielding was one of the highlights of the game, and ably assisted by Joe McGade. So those performances in the middle of the field afforded the forward the supply of possession that they needed, and by God, they exploited it. And the Oma defence really, for long periods of that game, Tom, were run ragged.
Mm. And I suppose another pleasing aspect of it, and no disrespect to Cavan men or Tyrone men, but an all-for-manna team.
Yes, it's the first time in all our McCrory's, 6 or 7 McCrory's we've won now, we've always had Tyrone players or Cavan players. I don't know, maybe in the 73 team there might have been a border or two in the college at that time from Donegal, Bundoran as well. So this time we were pleased that it was an all-for-manna team. But I can tell you now, Tom, we welcome players from our border counties, and I'll be going out looking to see if I can take in a couple of players maybe from Cavan, Donegal or Tyrone for next year's campaign, because it's great to have that bit of extra quality. Obviously, from a Fermanagh point of view, it was great to win it with an all-Fermanagh team, but it's going to be even more difficult to back it up with another title next year. Like Trillick in particular, we always have players from Trillick on our team, and I'd be hoping that there is back in place fairly quickly.
And tell me, it's title number 7, the first in 73, then didn't one want in 92, and have won, what, 99, 2001, 2002, 2012, and you've been involved in the last five.
Well, I was assistant to Peter McGinnity in 92, so I've been involved in the last six, and then I took charge then in 99 myself, and I've won five, we've lost two in that time as well. So it has been very good, because you look at some of the traditional powers in colleges football, the likes of the McCartans, Monaghan, and you look at the success of their county senior team. They haven't won a McCrory since 1956, 1956-57. So you have a lot of big colleges that haven't featured at McCrory Cup. So I'm delighted that in the last 20 years, we have been there or thereabouts all the time. And as I said to you in an interview before the game, Tom, I felt that this year's team were going to be there or thereabouts. I mentioned it to one of your own greats down in Donegal, Colin McFadden. He's doing great work there with St. Junan's Letterkenny. When we played them away back on a dark winter's day in September, I said to Colin that we would not be far away this year, because I felt we had the quality, and up front especially, to be really, really competitive in the McCrory. And so it turned out. I think we beat an under-sent Letterkenny team that day. But that's the beauty of it, Tom. It's a long, long journey. Like, the Cup wasn't won on the 18th of March. It was won way back in the dark days, the cold winter days of September, October, November. That's when the real hard graft is done. Over Christmas time, we would train consistently over the Christmas holidays. January into February, then come quarter final time. So it's been a long journey, but a most enjoyable journey. And players have developed, and players have improved, and players are going to be the better for the experience of having played McCrory Cup football.
And tell me, when did you start? When did you get this team together first, or have they come up through from first year?
Well, they would have come up from first year, and they would have been with different teachers in first year. Brendan Raza would have had them in first year, Michael McGovern, Jerry Donnelly, Mark Henry. So I would have got my hands on them, you know, when they came in September. We had a meeting the way back last May time before they sat their examinations. I told them what I expected from them. I told them we were going to be getting to work very early. And to be fair, their attitude has been superb. You could see that in their work ethic on Monday last. You know, no matter what, they kept playing. When the chips were down, they kept playing. When they were going well, they kept playing. And that's one of my models in the game. Never let up, never give up. And these boys have bought into that big time. Hopefully those qualities, they'll be needed again next Wednesday. We play St. Coleman's Claremorris in the Hogan Cup semi-final next Wednesday. And we need to up it again. Because onto the All-Ireland stage, it's a step up from the Ulster stage. And I met the boys today. They had a good day on Monday night. They had a good day yesterday. It's back to work today. We get our full focus now for next Wednesday's Hogan Cup semi-final.
And the Hogan Cup is under 18, is it, or is it under 19? There used to be a difference
Hogan
there.
Hogan Cup is under 19.
It's still under
18. No, it's under 19.
Yeah.
It's changed now that there's consistency across the board in all four provinces, so it's under 19. St. Coleman's, Claremorris and ourselves, and I think it's Naas and Dingle playing the other semi-final. So obviously the goal of every college team playing at senior level is to get to Croke Park on Hogan's Cup final day, and we are just 60 minutes away from that now, and we keep our heads down, we work hard, and again on the day we look to produce our performance, because that's the most important thing. You can prepare as much as you can and work as hard as you can, but the key is to go out and perform on the day, and thankfully we did that on Monday. Our target now is to do it next Wednesday. I think it's in Carrick and Shannon next Wednesday.
And tell me, many boys at the college?
At St. Michael's College we have 670 boys, 670, and probably the big change in the college back in 73 when Mick Brewster coached the team to their first ever McCrory success, there were boarders in the college, but there are no boarders now, which is a pity, because if you had the access to boarders, then you could be getting players from far and wide. And certainly I would be making hay if we had that boarding facility, but boarding colleges are now a thing of the past, except maybe in private rugby schools in Leinster and in Ulster as well, like in Campbell College and that. So it's sad in a way to see the boarding facilities gone from the colleges, but we just get on now with our day pupils, 670 day pupils. The goal of every student when he comes to St. Michael's College, when he comes in through those doors, he wants to put on the McCrory Cup jersey. And these boys at the minute are living that dream.
And tell me, how does this team compare? You mentioned to me on Saturday and you mentioned again tonight, you had a good feeling about this team from very early this year.
Yeah, they compare favourably, I feel, with all other winning teams. As I said to them today at our first meeting since our success, we'll be judged on how we do in the Hogan and how we compare with other St. Michael's teams. Look to see how we do in the Hogan. So if this team can go on and win a Hogan title, then I'd be saying this is the best team that ever came out of St. Michael's College. So we've got to two Hogan finals. We've got to three or four semi-finals in the past. We've never crossed that bridge of winning the Hogan Cup title. So if this present group can nail a Hogan, then I will tell them then that they're the best team that has ever come out of the college. But until then, they're comparing the same as every other St. Michael's winning team.
And tell me, Dominic, do people from Manor realise the great nursery that you have there?
I think they do. And the wonderful thing about Fermanagh, it is the only college that's in the, you know, in the county that plays McCrory Cup football. And I always say St. Michael's is the people's team. And every man from Fermanagh, I would say every family was represented there. If they all couldn't go, they were represented. And there's a great bond, there's a great affinity. St. Michael's and Fermanagh are kind of in tandem. You know, we work in tandem. And that quality and that loyalty, you know, the thing that I like so much about our supporters is the loyalty they have. And they were out on the pitch. They were delirious. There were, you know, scenes of great joy to see a Fermanagh team topple a Tyrone team in an Ulster final. It doesn't happen that often. And when it does, by God, the Fermanagh people savoured it there last Monday. The likes of big Patsy Casey out on the pitch. And I never seen Patsy as happy to see a Fermanagh team celebrating a well-deserved success over a Tyrone team. That's what Patsy mentioned to me after. And but the right, every club in the county supports St. Michael's. Everybody in the county supports them. Everybody wants to see St. Michael's do well. And the support we had on Saturday, on Monday last was magnificent. And we look to see that again next Wednesday in Carrick and Shannon.
And tell me, Dom, before you go, what's the secret?
Oh, the secret is hard work. Keep the heads down. Don't let boys get carried away with themselves. I'd always say, no, I don't want any ego trippers in the team. It's all about the collective. It's all about the team working hard. Playing for the system, keeping it simple, doing the basics right. I'd be a big believer in having our basics brilliant basics, keeping, you know, the simple skills of the game, kick passing, foot passing, handling, first touch. And then I always like to see players go out and express themselves. I'm always keen to see forwards show their quality. And by God, our forwards showcased their quality last Monday. And that's a challenge for us now. We always look at the next challenge. And I think that's part of the secret as well. Never dwell too much on the success that's gone. Look forward to the challenge ahead. That's what everybody in St. Michael's College will be doing now for these next 7 days.
Dom, thanks a million for joining us again. Congratulations and the best of luck against St. Coleman's next Wednesday.
Thanks very much, Tom. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
That's Dom Corrigan there, manager of that successful St. Michael's Enniskillen team who defeated Omagh CBS on Monday in the McCrory Cup final. 16 points to 2-6, a fantastic performance by Enniskillen. Some brilliant performances by their forwards, in particular young Darrow O'Brien, or McBrien, scored 8 points. I think we'll hear of him again, but some good all-round performances for Enniskillen, and certainly a great achievement for a college with just, what, 670 boys, is what Dom said there. And Dom has a great record. They have won 7 McCrory's. The first was in 1973. Then they didn't win one until 1992, and they have won five in the last, 20-odd years or so, and Dom has been involved with every one of those and managed every one of those, so has got quite a reputation as a coach in the Macquarie Cup football. So my congratulations to him and to St. Michael's, and well, the best of luck next week. Disappointment for Cahill Deira, that's the amalgamated teams in Derry City who took part in or competed in the McLaren Cup final on Bank Holiday Monday. That was their curtain raiser to the Macquarie final. They were defeated by St. Patrick's of Downpatrick, much the better side on that day. But as Michael McLaughlin called it, project in Derry of bringing the schools together with along with St. Columb's and getting young lads who maybe wouldn't have the opportunity playing at that level, playing good quality football. Hopefully it's allowed Sion. I know there are moves and talks of maybe not allowing amalgamations in Ulster colleges again next year. I think that would be a shame, but I suppose you can understand too some teams, because with teams like amalgamated teams like Kalash, Dinish Owen and Carr there coming through maybe and taking some of the limelight, but they haven't won a McLaren yet, so it's certainly good for football in Derry City as well. And commiserations to Michael McLaughlin, who we spoke to on Saturday last, ahead of that game. Donegal had a good victory down in Cork at the weekend in Allianz Football League Division 2, and of course they have a crunch game with Kildare in Father Tierney Park and Ballyshannon on Sunday next. And a lot of big games in all the leagues in actual fact this weekend. Of course Fermanagh and Meath are the top two in Division 2, and they meet in Navan as well. That one will decide a lot as well. And of course Leitrim and Derry are already through to the Division 4 title final. And well, we have to congratulate Tyrone and Mickey Hart in particular. Mickey marked his 300th game a senior manager with Tyrone by beating the Dubs, the reigning All-Ireland champions, in Croke Park on Saturday night. Fantastic game of football, 114-111. That was the score in the end, and certainly Tyrone laid a few ghosts and a few bogeys on Saturday night in Dublin. Of course, all the talk now is the demise of Dublin, and all others still have the idea that Jim Gavin is playing silly games and not too interested in the league, and that they're going for the five in a row. We'll see. September will tell that. They're not going to be tested in Leinster, but certainly they could be maybe outside that. That's three games of loss in the league this year. First time ever for the Dubs under Jim Gavin. Well, Fergus McGee, of course, the Donegal Culture and Language Officer, is still here with me. We spoke to him earlier about the Ulster Score Final, which is on in Galbally in Tyrone on Saturday evening. And quite a number of Donegal representatives involved. Maybe, Fergus, before we go, you just remind us again who's competing for Donegal, the clubs involved.
Yeah, and the clubs that are competing for Donegal are in the solo singing. We've got Sinead Nigonal from St. Eunan's, and then we've got Robert Emmett's are in the ballad group section. Instrumental music is Don Lowe, and in the Leary Stature, the stage presentation, that's Letterkenny Yales.
And how many teams competing in each section, or many groups,
or that each of them will be up against three other counties, and in each of those competitions they'll be up against three other counties, and they would have come through other semi-finals, etc.
So it's going to be a long afternoon or a long evening in Galway.
It'll be a little bit. It usually takes about four and a half hours. Nearly it takes. Yeah.
The music in the background tells us, Fergus, unfortunately, the time has caught up with us. My thanks to Fergus McGee. My thanks to Dom Corrigan, who joined me beforehand. Pio McCann is coming up next. A happy Tyrone man tonight, thinking of All Ireland's again after Saturday night in Croke Park. And also my thanks to Jimmy Stafford and Sound, Gudjean Shocks and Shahogan, Slán agus Bannock.